Blog Talk Radio. we go. There's a psychic ex journeyman here on Psychic Ex Journeyman's Spiritual Link Talk Radio Show. Hey, let's do that again. This is Psychic Ex Journeyman here on Psychic Ex Journeyman's Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. And how you guys doing out there? It's a little bit late, but you know, it's one of those things. You know, sometimes I think the idea of personalities and that kind of stuff, but people need to understand one thing. We live here on the same planet as you are. Breathe. You know, just got all this stuff going on. So sometimes, you know, things don't work out the way we plan. But you know something? I always know one thing. Everything works out the way it's supposed to. Everything happens for a reason. So therefore, let's get on with the whole situation. Yesterday, we were talking about some things here where it's one of those things. I do this on a random. Go check out a random. ORANUM.com. It's a unique psychic internet. I don't know what you call it. It's a psychic line, but you actually get to see your psychics because they're on webcam. So go check that out. Also, there's another one out there, Keen, KEEN.com. They're fantastic, too, and the idea of giving you all kinds of different options of different psychics, different prices and that kind of stuff, ranging from 99 cents up to... I've seen some people charging $25 per minute. And you sit there and I'm sorry, but the first thing I saw when I saw it was, what? Okay, so let's get that out. But with the situation in hand, we were going over some things yesterday when I was working on the random and the idea of asking the questions. You know, the idea of ask yourself three questions. Are you ready for big love? No matter if you are or not, say yes. Because yes is the first step to being ready. And maybe you are ready. Maybe you're just kidding yourself, okay? Maybe you should take yourself in there and look in the mirror. Smack yourself, okay? I want to have a fantastic relationship. I want a relationship. Oh. But then you sit there and say, I don't know if I'm ready. How can you want something at the same time you deny yourself? So you need to step back and look at the situation, look at you and say, okay, what am I doing? Am I depriving myself of something because I don't think I deserve it? And you should start working right there. Okay, the second question is, ask yourself, are you ready for a fantastic romantic relationship? Are you ready to be in a romantic relationship? And then the third question is, ask yourself, look and say, look yourself right in the eyes and say, are you ready to tell somebody that you're the number one thing in my life and live it and prove it? Because I'm telling you right now, guys, there's a lot of people out there saying bullshit. Okay? Because you have to be honest with yourself. If you sit there and ask those questions and you're not ready, then don't go out there and put yourself in a relationship with somebody else and realize, it's like you need to realize one thing. Your actions do affect other people. If our love affects everybody, then our emotions also the same way. Of course, everybody's responsible for their own lives. Of course, what I'm saying is, don't put yourself into something that you're not ready for. Because that person will reflect back at you where you are in your life at this time. Are you ready to see that? And are you ready to learn from it? It's crucial to realize those things. If you're not ready, and you go out there and tell somebody you are, and they don't, and then that has an unfavorable outcome, you contributed to it as much as they did. Admit it. Learn from it, then maybe the next relationship you get into, you are ready. All right? Because the situation goes like this, woman and men, but mostly more women, who want to sit there and say one thing, especially people in 20s, okay? Get your heads out of your asses right now. Wipe your ass, wipe your face off so you can see things clearly. There is no such thing as a generation gap. They're just excuses to keep from facing responsibilities and to keep you from where you really want to be at. Okay? That's the truth. You can say what you want. You can do what you want. You only spin your own tires. And pretty soon, after you spin your tires for a while, you got to replace them. Okay? So therefore, do we all have a problem when we replace our tires of letting go of the old ones in favor of the new ones? Do we realize that if we tried to hang on to our old tires and put the new tires over top of those, what would happen? That would be a freaking problem, wouldn't it? Well, if you could sit there and take all your issues, your baggage and everything else and realize they do the same thing. They occupy space in your life. And if that space is occupied, how can anything new come in? How can someone new come in? So it's important to get rid of all that stuff and realize when in the next relationship you get into, treat it like it's the very first relationship you've ever had. Treat it like it's the first boyfriend or girlfriend you've ever had. And actually be responsible to yourself. Be respectful. And try, and basically look and see that person for who they are. Not really judging them by who they resemble. Because when you wipe the slate clean, there is nothing to go by. You're looking for something new, then the old cannot help you. So let it go. Because I've heard this too many times with the situation of younger generations sitting there going, hey, you know something, it's like this. The young generation does this, and the young generation, no, they don't. They're justifying their actions. They're covering their asses. You know what they're doing? Like we said before, all they're doing is depriving them something of what they really want. Because the idea of someone sitting there going, I love being single. I guarantee if you lived their life minute by minute, you would probably sit there and look them in the face and tell them what a big contradiction they are and how they're lying to themselves. It's not the idea of enjoying being single. There's no such thing as being single. It's just being individuality. Okay, single, attached. The idea of attached, you know. It's amazing how we take all these words and not realizing they're working against us. The idea of looking at your significant other across off, looking right at you and say, you're the number one thing in my life. Prove it. Because I guarantee you, if you treat them like the number one thing in your life, they'll treat you like the number one thing in their lives. Also, we don't realize one thing. In the process of having a very strong, balanced relationship, everybody outside of the relationship has a tendency to respect you. But when one person or the other is weak, people on the outside have a tendency to attack that. So that's one motivation to sit there and help you understand the idea of the strength of a relationship and the strength of each other. I don't know what will. So in that freaking format, let's go ahead and take some. I just want to sit there and tell everybody. That's the thing. One more note. When you sit there and tell somebody you're the number one thing in my life and you treat them like number three, don't expect a positive. Don't expect a positive outcome. You know, the idea of treating someone like that is the idea you're lying to yourself. Okay? Also, the situation, too, if you're not focusing on number one, which is you, you have to be strong within yourself to be that strong lover, that strong, loving person to give to another. So therefore, that strength will help you understand one thing. No one or no thing can hurt you. Okay? That strength will help you tap into your heart. It will help you hear, know, and follow your heart. Okay? Follow your heart. Now, I always say that because this is the truth. If you follow your heart, you will know if you're in a relationship that's going to work or not going to work. If you always follow your heart, you'll never let fear make you run away from something that you really want. You won't let fear put you in a position of making excuses to keep you away from where you want to be at, okay? Think about these things. Let it resonate with you. Have any questions? Be glad to. We're going to be here next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Be glad to answer your questions for you. Or call in tonight. Give us a call here if you want to get a reading. 646-721-9... Yeah, that's right again. 646-721-9031. Again, the number is 646-721-9031. Also, if you want to sit down with me and do a private relationship compatibility palm reading, manifestation meditations, angel card readings, palm readings, life coaching, relationship counseling. If you have a party where you want, or you'd like to have like first have you at your party, or you have a speaking engagement that you'd like to, for us to come down there because you like our viewpoint, and life coaching. I also do healing. I have 3 sessions, 90-minute sessions, 60-minute sessions, and 30-minute sessions. If any of these things detail or you're interested in doing in the situation of private sessions, give me a call, 740-500-8863, or call me on my private number at 719-632-6257, or contact me through my website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Again, those numbers are 740-500-8863. 719-632-6257, or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Right now we have a special going on for $75 for 75 minutes. I also have a one-card angel reading, which is a 20-minute session, and that is actually $15 this month. We also do email readings. That's 5 cards, 3 questions. And right now, this month, they're only going for $25, because they usually go for $55, I think. But this month, they're $25. We also have 90-minute sessions that we use for the healing, relationship counseling, life coaching, past life regressions. Also, the situation of thinking about putting in there or doing manifestation meditations. Yeah, that's a hard one. Where we sit down and teach you how to manifest and how to be more successful at your manifestation and how the whole process works. So therefore, it makes it easier for you to detach and feel the outcome, okay? So therefore, those are special. We have more specials, so just give us a call. We'll be glad to give you the details on those situations. So give us a call, 740-500-8863, 719-632-6257. Or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And also we do readings, one-on-one parties, conference calls, which are actually group readings, on Skype. The prices don't change. It's just a different format of connection. And my Skype information is actually donald.reed8, all small letters. So if that's better for you too, and you like to sit there and do something in person, and you like to get away from the phone and do a Skype reading, be glad to sit down with you. Like I said before, the places are all the same. Also, the situation, trying to figure out how to put this. Well, I really don't want to say an organization. But we are here to help people. So therefore, we can also work with your budget. So whatever you got to work with, I say, pick up the phone, call me. Let's sit down and talk about it. Because I guarantee you, anybody who's ever came to me with any kind of quote with what they would like to do for a reading, I've never turned anybody away. So keep that in mind too as well. We're also looking for sponsorship. Right now I'm looking for at least 4 sponsorships. Sponsorship is only $45 a month. And then that's where we sponsor you, your service or your product. At the same time, you're sponsoring the show as us working together to actually up the format and the whole situation, to give even a better show back, to give more, to actually give a chance to really put a lot into this situation of working together to really give a really strong spiritual program in the process so people can actually come, get information, get some answers, and that kind of situation. So if you would like to be a part of that whole thing, just give me a call on my private line at 719-632-6257. We're also donations, love to have donations. So if you feel like, do you want to donate to the show, that kind of thing, and you're a person who, let's say you want to donate $25 or $35, and you would like say, hey, can I get a reading for that? If you donate $25, I will give you a 30-minute reading. If you donate $35, I will give you a 40-minute reading. So keep that in mind too as well. So therefore, there you go. There's the information. Love to talk and love to sit down and work with each one of you great individuals. You fantastic people out there that are all, we're all basically the whole of a whole. And it's great when you sit there and work with one person. It's the ideal. When you heal yourself, so do you heal the world. So hey, therefore, this work together and this make a difference in your life as much as we can in the world itself. Okay. We can be an example, and like with this show, sometimes when we do things and one person gets a reading, that one reading, actually 10 people hear it, resonates with those 10 people, they go out there, 10 people, and you can see how it just keeps gravitating and expanding, so that's what we want to do in the ideal of awareness. So we have callers, so let's get to the call. We also in the chat room, let's see. We have a couple of people in the chat room. Nice to meet everybody. How you doing in the chat room? Hello, hello, hello. And let's get to the first caller. There we go. Area code 646. Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
Cool.
So how's things with you?
Yeah, I think things are pretty good. I was, I guess, at a crossroads, and I was wondering if I guess now would be a good time to move to a new job, or should I stay where I'm at?
Say it one more time.
Yeah, I was kind of curious to know if I should move on to a new path of career or stay where I'm at.
I can see the idea of wanting to stay where you're at, because there is a sense of security there. You're not too happy with it, but then again, you're willing to deal with the situation because you feel there's something coming to you. But you also feel like that you, I don't know, I get the impression you really want to venture out and you want to do something on your own. I really feel like you should take a leap of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was looking at the cards. It says your life purpose involves helping, teaching, healing. It also mentions things about children.
Wow.
Does that resonate with you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would have been leaving to move to a teaching job, and the other endeavor I would have been doing would be writing children's books.
Well, with the situation of pulling that card out and getting that information so freaking quickly, because I emphasize on the first part, because that's what I feel like I should do, the idea of healing, teaching. Because, you know, I think a lot of people don't understand one thing. In the process of teaching, when a person lets that in and it resonates with them, it changes their perception, and that's a healing. That's healing in itself. The ideal, you get a different perception. You look at my body sucks. But then when you get a healing, you look at your body in a different way, and therefore your mind, your mental and your emotions and your spiritual all change right then and there, going, ooh, that was incredible. And it resonates with you. It changes you. And then in the process of healing, you change for the better. So have you ever seen anybody get healed and get worse? If you have, I like to have documentation of that one. but you understand what I'm saying, right? In the process of someone and their intentions to do something, there's always some kind of change.
Even
with the situation, I saw this with this. It was a guy that used to be on television, used to play on Taxi. I can't remember his name.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about the star of Taxi. I forgot his name.
No, well, the one I'm thinking about is the one that used to do Lockya, the guy, the foreign dude.
Oh, okay.
Okay, he was a comedian, and he got cancer, and he went to another country to get healed. In the process of going to a person who was supposed to spiritually and supposed to be this healer to take this cancer out of him, he saw that this guy was a fraud. Okay, he saw that this guy was a fraud. He saw what he did. He saw him pull a piece of chicken out and made out like he had pulled this cancer out of him and the whole situation. But see, there was still a realization that happened in that experience, because he realized right then and there it was more of a... The idea of taking that path was showing him that he wasn't really listening to himself, and maybe it was the ideal of a time to move on and to prepare for it. Not to sit there and call this guy a fraud. It was the ideal he learned from that experience, and we can learn from every experience that crosses our path. We had this yesterday with a situation of women being with abusive men. Everybody wants to sit there and treat them like a victim, when realistically they chose that man. They chose to be in that relationship. So therefore it reflects something back at them about themselves, that maybe by being with the control. I saw this before. I was actually doing some relationship counseling. I saw this lady, and she said it herself. She said, I didn't choose this guy. I was looking for someone to help me control my life. Okay? Did you hear what she said? I'm looking for someone to help me control my life. Okay? Right. So she attracted a controlling man. But in the process of the situation, the relationship was still unbalanced, because she was supposed to learn. It wasn't his responsibility to change her life. It was her responsibility to do herself, which in the process of this relationship, of even being still in this relationship, she still hasn't made that decision. And when she did, she learned that she needed to take the proper steps for herself to get a different outcome. So with your situation, you have a realization, and you need to follow through with it as soon as possible.
Okay.
We look at the situations and we always say, sorry guys about the message, but we're not sorry about the message because that was the message. So if it's one of those things where you need to ask a couple questions about it because of the way it came out, feel free to do so. If it resonates with you, then do the appropriate things that you got to do because you can sense it with you. This is what you want to do.
Right.
And I get the impression that once you put your intentions into it and say, okay, this is really what I want to do, don't be surprised if the opportunities start out opening up very quickly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any more questions that you'd like to share with us?
I've been working at this job. I've been at for four or five years, and, you know, I just feel like, it's pretty much just a job, just for the material of it. But as far as the passion and purpose, there is none. And I kind of wanted to move on to something that was a little bit more, life affirming to me. And like you were saying, I do feel like I have to take a leap of faith in the sense that I'm pretty much finished with everything I need to do to start teaching. I just have to actually, after 2 weeks of classes, just find a position. And as far
mm-hmm.
as the writing stuff, I have works, children's works was I think are pretty good, but I guess I can always touch them up before I put them out there. So
mm-hmm.
when you hit on the teaching and the children, that's exactly what my mind was focused on at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but one thing else, too, to do is sit there and put it in. I used to sit and watch my mom do this, okay? Always chasing after stuff. Always chasing after. I saw her. It was one time she went to get a job at this place called Kenworth. She waited in line in the pouring rain, and she never got his job. And it's the idea of being more successful in what we're doing, of realizing that people have to understand. We say the law of attraction. But for some reason, people don't get that idea of the attraction thing. Attraction means to come to you. Even in the Bible, it says, be still, and everything good will come to you. So therefore, we have these ancient texts that tell us why we keep chasing after everything. Our egos are out of control. It's the ideal, with your situation particularly, is the ideal to sit down and say, okay, you're looking for a teaching position. And it's not the ideal that I don't feel like you should go looking for it. I get the impression you should sit down, write down a piece of paper, exactly what that position is, exactly where would you like to work, exactly what would you like to do, and then use your visualization to actually visualize that as somebody coming to you and offering you a job instead of the other way around. I feel like it would really work out better that way anyway because it would save a lot of wear and tear on your shoes. It would save a lot of wear and tear on your freaking fingers. But the idea of increasing your knowledge and that kind of stuff should never stop. The reason why is because in the process of teaching children are very curious and they learn very quickly. And the idea of keeping up with that kind of format, you have to as well. But also realize one thing, we all have an inner child that needs that attention. And everything you do in the process of what you do and with your career nurtures that inner child as well, which gives you that very strong self of being, strong sense of self. So therefore, when you put in positions to say, hey, someone needs some assistance and that kind of stuff, it's easy to go and just do it. Because I feel like you're a very, very compassionate person with people, and the idea of giving way beyond most people would just stop at. Would you disagree?
I would agree.
So, you see, seriously, that's the first thing I picked up on was sitting down and visualizing. I had my friend do this, too. She was trying to sell her house, and she had a realtor. And I told her, I said, don't listen to him. He's a worldly guy. He's looking at statistics. He's looking at the economy. Who cares? Just looking at the situation and realizing when one person sets their intentions to something positive, it actually has a positive effect on the economy. If you fall into the economy, it just keeps getting worse. Okay? So I sit here and told her, I said, how much you want to sell your house for? She said, I want to sell my house. She goes, if I sell my house for $120,000, I'd be good. I could walk away and I'd be comfortable. I said, well, then ask and focus on 120, and then make sure you cut all the cords to the house so you have no attachments because you like it here. She goes, okay. And I said, visualize. Don't visualize 20,000 people coming through your house. Don't listen to people who say you have to go through all these things before you get to the one. That's crazy. What you need to do is visualize just one person walking up to you and going, I have a perfect job for you. I have a fantastic job for you. Okay, hold up. All right.
Yeah, I'm back.
No problem. What I was saying was with my friend, she said her house at $120,000, and then her realtor told her that, she, you know, you want to get a lot of traffic going through your house. And I said, no, you don't. All you need to do is visualize that one person walking up to you and saying, I'll take it. And she sold her house in a week.
Wow.
Okay? So it's the idea. Her belief was, you know, the one thing she did, the proper procedures, too. She cut the cords of the house, make sure there's no attachment. She set the house to what she wanted to get. And she didn't listen to outside influences who were giving her advice according to the world, what the world says. If you want to sit down with the world dictate your success, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because the world's going to tell you, like I said before, her realtor told her she wanted to get a lot of traffic going through her house so she could find that one. And I said, no, just picture that one walking up and handing and just shaking your hand saying, I'll take it. And then you going back to California. You know, simplify it. You know, the world thinks that, you know, the numbers, those numbers will wear you out. Trust me, I was in sales for a while. And they were always saying you got to go through 10 houses to get one sale. 50,000 people, there's like 10% of sales in that percentage. And I'm sitting there going, that's great, guys. Numbers are great. But I think I can go and simplify the whole thing and cut that little adventure there a little bit shorter and get to the goal. And when you sit here and hear stories like this, where a lady sits down, does the same thing I just said to you. She sits down with a pad, a pencil and pad, and she writes down, she didn't like where she worked at. She didn't like what she did, but she loved being a manager. So she said that she sat down, got very detailed about what she felt a manager, what kind of management position she wanted, what kind of company she wanted to work for. She got very specific about everything, even to the point of the neighborhood she wanted to live in, the people she wanted to work with, even the idea of having her own parking space. Okay? And then in 2 weeks, and like I told everybody, in 2 weeks, she got a call from two different companies. She got two job proposals from two companies in 2 weeks. And everybody's like, well, hey, I'm sure she did because she was really focused. Yeah, but she never applied for these jobs. So don't underestimate the energy and the power. Don't underestimate you. It's the idea of looking at the situation and some of the things I heard you say of I have to do certain things to make get more to be more ready for it. When the idea you could look in the mirror and ask yourself flat out, I am ready.
Okay.
And then take the proper procedures and do the same thing and see what happens. I personally look at the situation. I mean, it's not the idea of snapping at people and saying, please take try out of your vocabulary. But if your mind hears yourself saying, I'll try. But in the process of saying, I'll try, they also hear a little bit of, I guess, a little insecurity there. So it's almost like you're setting yourself a failure. So it's like either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it. And I say, just throw yourself into it. Because I feel like you throw yourself into this, I think you're going to have more success and be more content with yourself that you're actually accomplishing something and really giving something back because you've been working for this company and you feel like all you've really been doing is making money for this company.
Right.
It hasn't really benefited you, but it has benefited you. It's got you to the point right now where you say, I want to do something on my own. It's time for me to step out. So the company came in your life at the right time, but it's no longer necessary.
Right.
You've learned all you can from here. Now it's time to move on.
Okay.
Okay, you are fully supported as you devote yourself to your divine life purpose. Remember that too. Like, and what we mean by that is, take some time, connect with your angels, ask questions. You know, I used to do it all the time, and I still do it all the time, where I'll sit there and say, I'd love to find a nice place right now, and so therefore, point me in the right direction. Save me some time. I don't want to go through 5 or 6 job interviews. I want to go right to the job. Okay?
All right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was, how would a person know, like, I guess, connecting with angels? Because sometimes a person, well, you know, I might feel like I have so much noise in my head that I don't know, you know, if my over imagination that's talking to me or if I'm actually being communicated, you know, by an angel. So how do you, is there like a method?
Well, it's amazing how people sit there and look at the situation and go, you know something, I got to quit second-guessing myself, not realizing why I'm making that statement. That's the answer right there. Stop second-guessing myself. It's the first thing that comes in your mind. When you're in the process of making a decision, the very first thing that comes to you, boom, this is what I should do. The one you feel so secure about, it's always the ego coming in afterwards saying, you sure you want to do that? Anytime, this is how you tell the difference between the ego and spiritual guidance. Spiritual guidance is always going to take you somewhere to improve your life. The ego voice will always will try to get you to overanalyze it or doubt yourself. So people don't realize, like you're driving down the road, right? You get that little voice pops in your head and says, make a turn here. You don't know why, and you realize later on you miss an accident. That was your angel was talking to you. See, we're looking for these mind-blowing experiences, as in, ooh, angels. But angels are talking to us every day, every minute of the day, trying to keep us in the idea of not making bad decisions, trying to lead us down the road to actually improve our lives all the time. It's just that we're not listening. So in the mornings, the best thing I ever did was just sit down in a chair, sit there and close your eyes, and try to use a keyword. Like my keyword is just blank. When I sit there and focus on blank, it's a way for everything in my mind to shut down, to stop. That chaotic, all the voices and stuff, where you just start to say blank, quiet. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Breathe in. That's how you do it. You breathe in your nose, down, and you breathe in as you, how would you put this? You breathe down to your diaphragm, almost like a circle. You go down to your diaphragm, and then as you exhale, you basically do the same thing, but out your mouth. So you breathe in all the good and out with the bad. Do about 3 or 4 times, and you will see yourself calming down, relaxing. And then sit there and go, okay, angels, I would love to have, it was like some, you ever seen people do when they use pendulums, they'll ask the pendulum, they're actually asking the spirits or something like that, the pendulum, say, okay, which is yes and which is no, and then you determine the whole thing right there. So it's the idea of getting to know what is around you and how they communicate with you. I mean, you'll see people that know that their angels are talking to them just by what's said and what's done, but it's something that they had to take time. So I guess you would sit there and say, it's like sitting down with your friends. Imagine yourself sitting down with your angels, your archangels, you know, guides, guardian angels. Like you're sitting at a table and talking like that, and then you will decipher from which is them and which is you. Sometimes it's easier to get books. I have this one book. It's called Archangels and Ascended Masters, and at the end of each one of the chapters, it has an invocation to actually connect with these angels. It's by a lady named Doreen Virtue. Now, sometimes those books are really good. That's what I started off doing, too. I wanted to really connect with the angels. But knowledge is good. So you sit there and go with the situation. And don't be surprised in the process of obtaining more information about angels and that kind of stuff, that you don't be surprised if children and people start walking up to you and asking you questions about such things as well, because you got the information now.
Okay.
But I guarantee you, but that book, to me, that one book, because it's got archangels and ascended masters, and it helps you understand what they are. where they came from, the original, even the ideals, some of the myths behind them, why they are thought in certain ways. But at the end of these chapters, it actually has a way to connect with those angels and ascended masters. And then at the end of the book, it also shows you how to combine them too in certain situations and projects you're doing. Archangel Gabriel will be good for you in the process of teaching, because I also feel like you're a writer too, because you said you're going to write the books. But also Gabriel, check that one out for sure. Go on the internet, whatever, but go on Archangel Gabriel and Archangel Ariel. I think Michael would help you in a situation of severing ties with your old job in favor of what's going on, so you could actually see that clearly too. So try those three angels first.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
At any time you'd like to sit down and do a private reading, let me know. I'd love to sit down and work with you and information and kind of like that. I actually have some downloads I've gotten. They're meditations. They're subliminal binaural. Anyway, binaural.
Binaural.
Yes. Yeah. Down. There's subliminal meditations.
Okay.
And I mean, I got a bunch of meditations, and there's some for motivation, but there's a couple here for psychic abilities and just how to change those thoughts within your subconscious mind to get different results. Because a lot of times the reason we can't connect with angels and that kind of stuff is because of the way we were raised. It has to go through certain rituals and procedures and that kind of stuff. And this, what it does, is erases those things from you to understand that rituals are just for people who feel weak, that they have to do certain things to be stronger. It's the idea of helping you tap into their strengths. So when I do meditate, just when I help people and work with those kind of things, I also have meditations I can also offer to people too as well.
Okay.
And I only got them for 99 cents. And I thought it was cool that I actually got them on Amazon.com. When I found these things, they're actually between an hour to 60-minute meditations for only 99 cents.
Right. Yeah, I'll definitely contact you for. No, I said I'll definitely contact you for a private reading.
No problem. We're looking forward to hearing from you. So thank you for calling. And is there anything else we could help you with real quickly before you leave?
No, you've been extremely helpful.
Well, thank you. Like I said before, thank you, and have a great Sunday. Have a great week. And like I said before, I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Definitely.
All right.
Thank you.
You too.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. All right. So this is another situation. Are we having fun, guys? Yeah, we try to be as thorough as possible. Since the idea when we say free readings on this show, we say free readings, okay, guys? So therefore, just do it, all right? So if you're out there and you want to get some answers to your questions, please give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. We were also talking about private readings, too, as we were talking to our last caller. So if you want to contact me for private readings, please do so at 740-500-8863. Or you can call me on my private line at 719-632-6257. Or you can contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. So www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Okay, if you want to contact me through Skype as well, maybe you want to do a face-to-face reading and you're just not that close, you're not here in the Colorado Springs area, feel free to contact me through Skype as well, because we can do group readings and one-on-one readings through Skype as well, and they're really good for about anything. I can even do palm readings through Skype. So my Skype information is donald.reed8, all in small letters, and the figure 8. So please, love to hear from each one of you fine people, and the idea of sitting down and doing some really incredible, fantastic readings, because I guarantee you, if you get a reading with me, it'll be one of the best readings you ever had. Let's see. And this month we're having a special, $75 for 75 minutes. We also have a one-card 20-minute reading for only $15. We have email readings, too, as well. That's five cards, three questions, $25. And we also have a 90-minute session, okay, because I also do healings. I do healing sessions. They're 90 and 60 and 30-minute sessions. But our 90-minute sessions are going great right now because you can get a 90-minute session for only $77. And if you actually want to buy four 90-minute sessions up front at one time, it would only cost you $150, so therefore you would have four sessions to use whenever you would feel like you want to use those sessions. All right, so love to hear from each one of you. I love doing readings. I love sitting down working with people and have a fantastic time here working on the show. But when it comes down to sitting down and working with people one-on-one, that's where the magic happens. So give me a call at 740-500-8863. Or my private number is 719-632-6257. Or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Or contact me through Skype at donald.reed8. That's all in small letters and the number 8. All right. Also, we're looking for sponsorship. I love to work with four people right now. Sponsorship for this show is $45 a month to get yourself, your service, and your products promoted. And at the same time, you're also sponsoring, I think, is a fantastic show. And we'll all be working together to give out the spiritual message and to help people have a great place to come and get the answers to their questions and learn. So therefore, think about that, too. Also, if you'd like to donate to the show, please do. Just go to the website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com, and go to the donation and donate whatever you feel like you'd like to donate. And help us expand, keep working, so we can keep this format going on to get out and give people like what I call the truth, like the very spiritual truth about what's really going on in the situation and how you can change your life. If you donate $25, I will give you a 30-minute reading. If you donate $35, I will give you a 40-minute session. So therefore, but you can donate anything you like, all right? And in any kind of format. If you'd like to donate to the show and you feel like you'd like to get a reading with me, just call me and I'm guaranteeing we can sit down and work it out. Same thing with a sponsorship. Just give me a call at 719-632-6297. I'm sorry, 6257. And I'm sure we could sit down and work out a nice win-win situation that works for everybody. All right. I think we have somebody else in the queue who looks very familiar. All right. Is that you, Dee?
Yep, that's me.
So what's up?
Last time I checked, it was me. What?
So how you doing?
Hot, sweaty, and... Yeah. That's about how I'm doing. Dead to the world.
You know, we haven't talked to you in a while, so I was just kind of curious what was going on.
No, you haven't been on.
I was on last night.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
You were late calling in.
Yes, I was.
That's why I missed you. So eventually I figured Donnie's not showing up.
I didn't show up Friday because I was sitting talking to a friend of mine, and it was so freaking weird. I was working on a random... I was working, you know, doing readings and stuff, working with these companies I work for. And somebody said, "Hey, Dean, how was your show tonight?" I'm like, "Whoa, I had a show tonight."
That's why you weren't there, yeah.
So I was sort of thinking on Friday night because I was working. Well, it was the last 3 days of pay period on that one company. I had a goal I was trying to hit. And I was so focused on it, I forgot about everything else. And then my friend came in the room. Yeah, my friend came in the room and she was like, So did you do a show tonight? And I'm like, oh, this is Friday, isn't it? I was going to do a show.
It'll get you.
That was crazy. I was sitting there going, okay, we shouldn't have done that. But everything happens for a reason, so we just kept on cruising along, making sure we were going to be here for a Saturday. And then I had a lady call me at the last moment to get a reading. So it was one of those things, you know, duty call. So I did a reading for this lady.
Right.
And then, so I did the reading. As soon as the reading was over with, I signed in, I call in, And we did the last thing because it was a three-hour show anyway. And I was only like, I think I was, it was like 6:30 when I finally got in.
Okay.
So I was noticing I have a friend in the chat room right now, Amy, and I haven't talked to Amy in so long. I was trying to get her attention. I said, hello, Amy. Call in. Let's talk. Let's see what's up. It's how many batteries you've actually gone out there and charged up and got people in their way. Because she was the one to call
one
in.
One thing that suffers the temperature.
No, she called in one night and told me that she was focusing on because she was doing the... She was teaching me to be a Reiki master, I think. And she said that she was always transferring, you know, sending energy. So she decided, she left her lights on and it drained her battery, and she's sitting in the parking lot, and she's like, I wonder if I sent energy into the battery with that, could I charge the battery up and get out of here? So she sent energy to the battery, and sure enough, the car started and they left. Crazy, huh? Okay.
The whole world is crazy about now.
All right, let's look at the situation. We have a caller in the queue. It's at area code 720. Hello, 720. What's up?
Hi, Donnie. This is Cheyenne. How you doing?
I don't know.
Well, hello, Cheyenne.
Hi, Dee. How are you?
Hot and sweaty. You know that. We just talked a while ago.
So how you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Life is pretty good. So far, so good.
Well, that's good. I always sit there and say the same question when people call and talk to me and say, hey, I'm very happy. I'm like, okay, if you're really happy, then why are you calling? So there's like some kind of variable here in the situation.
I'm not unhappy. I'm not calling because I'm unhappy. I just, sometimes it's nice to have a heads up about things that are coming up. So can you tell me what is coming up for me in alignment with clients? I'm looking for clients.
You're looking for what?
Clients, so I can pay rent and all that good stuff.
I was sitting there looking at this situation. The first card I pulled out was passion. And it says, allow your heart and your soul to sing with joy. And I was sitting there going, it's the ideal of, I'm just saying what came to me very strongly, and the ideal of things have a tendency to take care of themselves a whole lot quicker when we stop thinking and focusing on them. And it just seems like on that note that things are right at, for some reason I'm having a hard time talking today. It's around the threshold of being a thing of the past. And the reason I sit there and focus on such things, and it's like, from personal experiences, I just did this last week, and I had my internet bill still to deal with. I got my electric bill, and I was just sitting there. You know, I said, today, I just want those things to be paid off. Today's the day. And my checking account that morning was at zero, and I was sitting there going, but I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm not going to sit there and let it all bother me. I'm going to sit there and focus on what will be the solution in the process of this thing for those bills to be paid. It'd be great to do a nice, in-depth, long reading. Well, somebody called me up and she said, remember I talked to you before? And she called me the same day. I think it was like an hour later. She called you and she goes, remember me? I called you before and you said you could help me out with a nice healing session because all the people I've gone to have not been able to help me. And I said, sure, I can help you out. And I think it also was a learning experience for me, too, because I'm so used to giving discounts all the time that sometimes we have a tendency to forget that we do have worth, and those things are worth what we ask for. So sometimes it's just to have that strength to ask for it. So I was sitting talking to her, and I said, okay, I got 90-minute sessions, 60-minute sessions, and 30-minute sessions. And she said, what do you recommend? I said, I would recommend a 90-minute session because I think it's more than just the idea of doing healing. I think you really don't have the... You don't think you deserve it, and you can't really picture a healthy, perfect body. So I think we need to take the first 30 minutes and the idea of address those issues before the healing will actually, where we can let down the resistance and allow it to happen. So we did, and she goes, well, how much is that? And I said, they're usually $135. And she said, okay. And I'm like, okay. She's good with that. I'm good with that. No,
so that paid your bills, didn't it?
Yes, it did. My bills were, because I told my girlfriend that, too. I told everybody. I said, watch this. I had a friend of mine tell me this, too. She goes, you get everything you want, don't you? And I said, yes, I do. Even in the process of situations of things that I think I want, I still get what I still get what I want and what's best from, what's in my best interest. So, therefore, yes, the answer to the answer was yes. And then before the day was over with, that $80 bill, but the $80 internet was paid, and my freaking electric bill was paid, and I went to the grocery store, did my laundry. I had a great day.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't until I sit there and told myself, I'm tired of worrying. And all of a sudden, I heard my angel say, then stop and see what happens. And start focusing on the solution. Because if you keep focusing on the problem just keeps getting bigger. So when you start focusing on the solution, the problem is no big deal anymore than else. Because you're focusing on what you, more likely, you're focusing on what you really want to do anyway. Is what you,
right.
You know.
I was given the direction to raise my rates on my clients to increase, because he's not paying what I'm worth. He's paying what he can afford. I've been working with them and doing trades with them, and so I work with him every week. And so I said to him, I said, I would like to make your payments available to me every other week. I'd like to change it up instead of every 3 sessions I get paid, because his wife is a Chinese medicine doctor. So she does acupuncture on me, and she does all kinds of other stuff on me and stuff like that every week, and to supplement what they don't pay out in money. So, and I kind of feel like I'm getting well from her working with me, and I don't feel like I need to go as much. So I was given this direction to change it up, to make it increase the amount by $25 and make it every other week instead of every third week. And so I told him that, and he's like, well, could we give you, you know, $75 a week? And I'm like, well, that'd be great. You know, I said, I really could use $150 every 2 weeks, but I could, sure, you could do that. You know, so universe just kind of showed up for me there. So I'm like, cool, let's just do that, you know. So it is getting better. It's just not to the point that, you know, I can afford this rent money, but the universe is showing up for me in other ways in the present situation that I'm in. The present relationship that I'm in is now ending, but I'm getting a bonus for leaving. So it's kind of working out, and I know now where my rent is going to come from for my future place to live.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be something else we could talk about. Do you get a sense of where in the mountains I would be? I got 3 choices. Spirit said that I would have 3 choices of places that I could live. One is Morrison, one is Idaho Springs, and one is Evergreen, but they're all outside of the city. They're not in the cities.
Uh-huh.
If you don't agree with me, Donnie, I'm coming through the phone.
Dee told me Morrison, and so I would like to see if that resonates with you, or is it one of the other towns? Evergreen is farther up the mountain, and Idaho Springs is farther yet up the mountain. So Idaho Springs is a gold mining town from the 1850s. And Evergreen has, I don't know how long Evergreen's been, it's been there a really long time, probably since the 1800s. But Evergreen is a little pricey. And like the farther up the mountain you go, sometimes the pricier it gets. So this is my theory. I feel that when I find the place that resonates with me, it'll be within my budget as well. Is that the same sense? Okay.
But it's also the idea of looking at your life as it progresses too, that your budget's going to get bigger.
Well, you know, a friend of mine said, can you afford that? And I found a place on Craigslist for $1,000 in Idaho Springs. It's a 2-bedroom. I looked at it. It looks nice inside. It doesn't have a terrific amount of pictures about the inside of the house, but it's a nice little cabin, and it would be perfect for me. And she's like, well, can you afford that? And I said, well, you know, I'm just kind of trust. You know, I got a big message today about faith, having faith. And knowing that everything's going to work out the way it's supposed to, because I had no clue where the money for the rent was going to come from until this past week. Now I know where the money for the rent is going to come from and for my expenses for the following 6 weeks. So I'm not worried about it. Really, I'm not really worried about it. I'm just curious. So
okay.
Which place resonates with you? I mean, I know it has to resonate with me, but which place do you get a feel about it? Huh? What?
Idaho Springs was the one that hit me the hardest.
Well, that also hit me, and D says Morrison. So I'm going to check it all out, though. I'm going to take my bike and go up there, and it's probably by car, it's 30 to 45 minutes on the highway. It's all off of I-70, Evergreen and Idaho Springs are right off the highway, right off I-70. But the views going up to Evergreen and Idaho Springs are just unbelievable. You can see the Great Divide from Evergreen, and it's really, really beautiful. You see the whole mountain area where all the ski areas are and stuff like that. And so it's just the most awesome little place. And Idaho Springs is, like I said, a mining town, and it's really beautiful. I've been up there a bunch. There's an Indian Hot Springs up there. So if you ever get an opportunity to go to Idaho Springs, you might want to, I mean, it's $18 for like a tour, a 3 to 5 hour session or something like that. And you can go up there and sit in the Indian Hot Springs and their caves.
Wow.
And there's all kinds of spirits in those caves because they talk to me when I go up there.
Where
but it's really
at?
Cool. It's Idaho Springs. It's called the Indian Hot Springs. You can Google it. It'll tell you where it is. And they have massages and reflexology and hot stone therapy and raindrop therapy and all kinds of extra services besides.
Let me ask you a question. What is raindrop therapy?
Raindrop therapy is used. It's aromatherapy oils, and it's a process where they use aromatherapy, and I think the oils are heated, so they're warm when they fall on you, and it's you know, you use it for certain things, like if you're trying to relieve your stress. And I'm not sure, but I think they might do a little massage with that, but I'm not positive.
Right. No,
I don't have a complete view of what it is.
What state is that in?
Huh?
What state is it in?
Well, it's in Colorado.
It's like this, guys. I'll put you right there. Every time someone mentions a city or where they live in Colorado, it's always something new to me. I don't, there must be tons of city in Colorado. Because one lady's sitting there saying,
you're missing out, man. If you don't go to the hot springs, you are missing out. They're all over. Like, if you take yourself and you go up to Woodland Park
Woodland Park. I love Woodland Park.
Okay, so if you go to Woodland Park and then you go south, like you're going, it'll say Hartzell. If you go south there and you head up to, let's see, I want to think. If you head up to Hartzell and you take it to Fairplay and go down 285 south, or if you can get over to Canyon City, there's hot springs over in that area too. The Royal Gorge is over there in Canyon City.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome. And you can take a gondola and go over the gorge. And that's a big amusement place over there. And Cripple Creek is a gambling town, but
yeah,
it's got lots
Cripple
of history because it was a Cripple Creek was a gold town back in the gold rush days. So it has a ton of
casinos and steamboat. And doesn't Cripple Creek also have skiing?
Steamboat is a city. Steamboat Springs is a city. But I think there are hot springs in Steamboat Springs.
Yeah.
If you go down Alamosa Way, down by Crestone, Crestone would knock your socks off with the energy. It is, it's like going into another dimension when you go into Crestone. And it's off 285 south, down by Salida.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go river rafting in Salina. I mean, there's a ton of places that you can go in Colorado. There's a place called Mount Princeton. After you go south on 285 past Fairplay, and they have a swimming pool that is all hot springs, all natural, and they have like you can go. The coolest thing about Mount Princeton is the river runs through there, and you can sit in the river, and part of it is warm, and where you dangle your legs is cold, so it's kind of a neat experience.
Wow.
So a lot of people do that, and then they have that hot spring swimming pool, and there's private hot springs you can go to where there's nudity, where it's total. I was told that Valley View was turned into a nudist camp, so I used to go there. I used to have a husband that had a year-round membership to Valley View. My son still goes there. And it's really awesome because they have pools. They have a big party pool at the bottom, and then they have little private pools all the way up the mountain to the top,
right.
And they just get cooler as you get towards the top of the mountain. But you can stay in cabins, and then there's Joyful Journey. They look like swimming pools, and there's a warm pool, a medium pool, and a hot pool. And then, of course, they have cabins and yurts, and they have teepees that you can stay in, and they have all kinds of extra services as well. So, and that's
so
now by Alamosa.
So I guess I should rent a car on the weekends and just go exploring, huh?
Oh, man, that would be awesome. I mean, there are so many places, haunted towns, where you can go. And all you got to do is you can look them up online, or you can buy one of those books. The guy I live with now has a book about all the haunted places where you can find crystals and minerals and gems and stuff. Like up on Pike's Peak, there's beds of minerals and quartz and stuff up there.
Yeah, I've been up the Cog Railroad to the top of Pike's Peak.
I rode up on the motorcycle, on the back of the motorcycle up Pike's Peak.
I was up there, too. I went with a friend of mine, and she was like, how do you sit and run all over the freaking place? I can hardly breathe. I said, I guess it's the adrenaline. I was just having a fantastic time from being on top of the mountain. It was like the ideal of Purple Mountain's Majesty, the song. America
the Beautiful. It's really beautiful.
People don't realize it, but the lady who wrote that was actually at the top of that mountain, on top of Pike's Peak, when she wrote that song.
Mm-hmm. It's really awesome up there.
Well, here, we got the Cave of the Winds. We got Seven Falls.
I have never been down there. I want to go to Garden of the Gods and Cave of the Winds. I really want to do that.
And the Gardens of Gods, yes. Me and Nick went to the Garden of Gods. It was fantastic. We went to the Garden of the Gods, and she's like, well, how far is it to the Garden of the Gods? And I said, sweetie, we're in the middle of the Gardens of the Gods. You didn't notice that? That's why they call it the Garden of the Gods. Look at everything around you. It's huge. And she was like, oh. And then it kind of takes you in real quick, you know?
I heard that the energy at the Garden of the Gods is a really awesome energy.
Oh, heck yeah. It was amazing. And then we went to the Incline. And actually what happened was we've been walking so much that day because we went out and the energy just hit us. We just were walking everywhere. We didn't really ride anywhere. We actually walked to the Garden of the Gods. We walked to the Pikes Peak up to the Incline and just always walking. But by the time we got to the Incline, we were like, I really don't want to climb the Incline because it took us, we basically used all our energy before we even got there. So we got to the base of it where the steps start. And we looked up. And if you go on my Facebook, Psychic X Journeyman Donnie Reed, and you'll find I took some pictures of people who were going up the incline, and the sun was coming down just right. So it looks like people are actually walking up the stairway to heaven.
Bright light.
Yes. I caught the picture just right, and I think I said, I don't think we was meant to go up the incline today, but we got some incredible pictures that day. I also found these affirmations, too. I was sitting there looking at the thing going, let's look at the situation and put things in perspective like this and go, okay, let's sit there and let's go ahead and say what we want, need, and desire. Forget our income, okay? Sit there and say, okay, this is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I desire. These are my goals. And then here's a nice affirmation to get it going. It says, my income far exceeds all of my wants, needs, and desires now and always. I am grateful to have the means to purchase have and do anything I desire when I desire it in cash. Thank you. So take those, and I guess I guarantee you that with, I've done these before myself. Either when I go to work on my website or work with the situation, or I want to get a couple more readings today through my own personal website, I start reciting just these two. And it's amazing how things pop in. Yeah, I do get specific, too. I mean, I got the back here on my other one. So I usually say, thank you, God and angels. I'm so happy and grateful for the 20 private 75-minute readings I did today through my website. I'm making over $1,000. This or something better.
So I just need to give them, an amount. And I have done that before. I've given them an amount, and they always fulfill it. And, you know, my client, the money that I get from my client pays all my bills. I only have two, but... So, in the situation that I'm in presently, I know that he is supposed to pay my way till I leave here because he owes me like almost $5,000 in money that I've given to him. And so the universe is saying that I'm now being paid back for all that he's unwilling to give it back to me. So the universe is taking it from him and given it to me by giving me a place to stay for free and free food and a little money in my pocket. And
that's the thing, too, to remember, too, isn't it, guys? That, you know, the idea of money and that kind of thing. We're always thinking about money in itself, and we always understand an increase in income could come in all kinds of ways. Like April had her deficit on her credit card. She just looked at it, and she was like, this is crazy. They've dropped my deficit by $200, and I haven't made a payment. And I said, thank the universe. you find extra money in your checking account, which she does all the time. And she was sitting there going, I found some extra money in my checking account. I said, say thank you to the universe.
I thought I didn't have any money in my checking account, and I called, and I had $15.
Right?
And I'm like, thank you. Yeah, I always say thank you because I know they're taking care of me. I mean, it's not that I don't trust them to take care of me. They do. My bills get paid on time every month without fail. And if I feel that they're going to be late, I just call up the people and say, hey, they're going to be a little bit late this month, but they'll be in by such and such. And I did that, and then they came on time. The money came on time. So I was just like, hey, this is pretty cool.
I was also talking to my friend, too. I was like... She goes, she said, what is that? I'm sitting there, I was working on a random. And I said, today, you know, I thank you, God and angels, for the 20 readings I did on a random today, earning over $1,000. And she was like, have you hit $1,000 yet? I said, no. But this is the thing. I noticed one thing, that's I'm doing these affirmations. Have I hit $1,000 yet? No, but I will. And why? Well, how I know that is because every pay period, my income keeps increasing each time. I've gone from making, when I first started working on a random, I was making between $100 and $300 every pay period. Now I'm making between $700-$800 every pay period, and it's going up.
Well,
I've got
to get myself together, so I've got to get my computer fixed so I can get. I'm signed up to work on a random, but I haven't been able to get on there because I broke my computer cord. So now that I know that I have that $15 in the bank, I found out I could get free shipping. I broke my AC cord, so I can't charge my computer. So I decided today, since I have that $15 in the bank, that I will go buy that AC cord on eBay. I can buy it for $8.52 with free shipping. So I'm like, crap, I'm going to just go do that so I can, you know, get myself going. Because I am signed up to work on a random.
Yeah, and also, like I was telling people, I said, one thing I love to sit down and work with people who work on these websites and say, one thing you guys got to quit doing. Is looking at the website and say, oh, look, there's 100 people on the day. Oh, there's 10 people on. Who cares? That has nothing to do with your success of how many people are on there. What it is your perception of walking in the freaking thing, blogging on, and setting your goals, and then focusing on those goals, and then focusing on your service, and I guarantee you'll get everything. Because I was sitting there talking to my friend. She goes, how do you do with this? I said, I'll walk in there. I do a reading, and I said, okay, I'm going to do another reading. I can and I will, so be it, so it is. Next thing you know, da-da-da-da, people come in there and do another reading. And then a couple of days ago, my goal of 20 readings, I think I missed it by one because I did 20 readings in one day on a random. The next day I did 10 readings, and then yesterday I think I did close to five or six. So the idea of sitting there saying these don't work, don't sit there and get so egotistic about it because you didn't hit the exact figure. It's the idea of looking at your income and asking yourself, was you asking for an increase in your income? Because you got it.
Yeah. I know. It's just about trusting. I have this big message to say about faith, having faith in myself and having faith in the universe, and I just know that it's going to be okay. So
yeah,
you should go see these cool places. These are some cool places.
Okay. No, I was just saying.
And there's all kinds of places like there's all kinds of places out here that have that are like ghost towns that are from like the 1850s that haven't been functioning probably since the beginning of the 20th century. And they're inhabited by spirits. And if you're a medium, you can go. You can feel them. You can feel the energy, like the hotel in Loveland or in Estes Park. It was in The Shining, the movie The Shining,
the Stanley Hotel.
It's actually a hotel up in Estes Park.
It's huge.
And, yes, and the guy who that made the Stanley steamer. The guy that built the Stanley steamer, he's the one who built the hotel. And there's all kinds of spirits in that hotel. They give tours and stuff, free tours.
Well, you should come up here. Because up here, we got this place called the Marymount Castle. We also have another castle here called the Red Castle Inn or something. It's a bed and breakfast, but both these places are over. They're close to 100 years old, too. They've been here since Manitou Springs has been here. I went to Miramont Castle. I actually talked to the lady who actually is downstairs, who actually you talk to before you do your little tours through there. She was real nice. I took her and told her what I did for a living and stuff, and gave her one of my cards. And she said, and looked at me and told me, she goes, it's usually $8 to go through here, but she goes, I won't tell anybody if you don't, so go ahead. So she let me go through for free, and that place... I went through the grand dining room, which was also the ballroom. It was incredible. I could sense the people. I saw people standing in the little windowways with those big fluffy dresses from the 1800s. You know, because the teenagers back then were really not much different than teenagers now. It's just the idea of what they wear. Same attitude the whole bit. But that room was very active, dancing. There was people dancing and moving around. It was very full. I actually saw two brothers who actually designed the place and built it. And then the guy who did the masonry work, their pictures are there, and I actually saw those two that were there. And just a lot of things. It was just really fun. It's kind of funny we talk to people. And I thought to this woman, I said, can you feel that energy in here? Can you feel the spirits? And she goes, I'm sorry, but we believe in Jesus Christ. And I said, well, so do I. What's your point? Can you feel the spirits?
No, you freak them out when you tell them that.
Do you feel the presence of Jesus? And, well, there you go. So I said, well, I'm seeing it all. So we had that little thing going. She's been really nice. She's let me go through it 3 times. And she told me she'd even let me go through there one more time with a camera and a miniature tape recorder. So I haven't. She told me I need to tell her I was going to do that. But she said I could go through it one more time like that and actually take my video camera and actually take the tape recorder and take things and record a lot of stuff and actually be able to do some paranormal work in there. And I thought that was real nice of her.
Well, that'd be cool to do that. One of those things, those energy things
I watch those shows a lot. Yeah. But we also got, right in this area, there was a lady named Elizabeth who was actually buried up on the first ridge, and we have these things here called coffin races. What happened was Elizabeth, in a big old storm, her body got washed down to Main Street, and then that's what sparked off the coffin races. But it makes you wonder... It goes back in the day, you could be buried anywhere you wanted to. And Elizabeth loved Manitou Springs, and she loved that first ridge, and that's where she was buried. Of course, they buried her somewhere else after she kind of washed down. But it makes you wonder how many more people are out here through this little area, because this place is right here in Manitou Springs and right in that area. We do have a ghost tour up here, too. And we have a ghost town here down on the other side of Old Colorado City. And then
Well,
but
Colorado
it's very
City
active.
Has been there since the Gold Rush era, too. That's a really cool part. I like that part of the city. Colorado City is a really awesome little place.
Yes, it is. And actually, they've set it up really nicely now. They actually have the they have these mining cars on every other street. They're all set up and everything else. And they got those, you know, the city they put newspapers and stuff in? The big ones?
Yeah.
They've all got, they've
yeah.
got all the things. So it's all they also have the, how do you call that? The, they kind of dressing it up. So you guys get the idea of what old Colorado City was. It's an old gold town. And plus, a lot of people said that there's still a lot of gold around here, too, and that kind of stuff. It's just the idea. You know,
there is.
The
you
idea.
Just got to be able to get to the right place and find it. They have gold panning up in Central City. Like, there's
mm-hmm.
a guy that does gold panning where you just pay whatever, well, I don't know what he charges, $20-$30 probably, and you go and he'll give you a pan and he'll let you gold, he'll let you pan for gold.
Yeah,
so
on
the, it's on the way up to Black Hawk in Central City. I think the highway is
mm-hmm.
119.
Well,
what do you think, Dee?
Yeah, Dee.
What do I think? I think you two are having a wonderful time in Colorado, and I'm sweating in Maine.
Yeah, so. Yep. Well, I would sit here and say one thing. We do have other people in the queue. And
oh, that's good. Yeah. You should talk to them.
But like I said, I would definitely use those affirmations. My income far exceeds all my wants, needs, and desires, now and always. And I can always purchase, have, and do anything I desire when I desire it in cash. Thank you very much. I've been using it a lot because I feel like that's the one thing we want to do, isn't it? We want to. It's not because I was sitting there watching a lot of people when they sit there and they start going backwards of trying to fit their wants, needs, and desires into a budget instead of doing the opposite of increasing their budget, increasing their income, you know? But realizing
well, I
your
find
potential.
That the more I talk to people who don't understand how to manifest, the more I get caught up in that. My ex said to me today, you know, you should get a job. Or you should get back on your Social Security, or you should do this and you should do that. And I said, I'm fine the way I am. I'm right where I need to be. Everything's getting better, and
thing.
I'm just going to trust
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
and,
I had the same
you know,
time.
He was like, but you should do this. And I'm like, but you should mind your own business, you know. I didn't say
yeah,
that,
I was,
but I felt like saying that to him.
Yes. I was talking to April, and I was sitting there saying, you know, someone says you need to get an outside job. I'm like, I said, why? You're working all the time. You're making all kinds of money. I said you cannot live your life by someone else's perception.
Yeah.
You have to
you
take
have to do
the stride.
What you need to do for yourself.
Yes, you need to sit. You need to sit there and say, okay, you've got to stop underestimating yourself in the process of justifying by what somebody else said, and say, hey, you know, listen to the people. I say listen to them anyway. Let them be motivation for you to go get what you want so you like you can come back. I did this when I was in Tennessee. I had a neighbor who was sitting there and said, hey, you know something, I wrecked my car. I can't have it. I can't keep a job if I don't have a car. Really? I'll see you later. He goes, where are you going? I said, I'm going to hitchhike into town, get the job where you used to work at, and I'm going to work there. And I'm going to show you you can. And I did.
Hey, D.
I think...
What?
D?
What?
Jeff was online tonight.
I told you that.
He was sick.
Oh.
He's been,
well,
he's
I'll,
sick,
I'll
yeah.
say something to him because I'm going to be emailing him later.
Okay, yeah, just, yeah, he was sick.
No, I talked
anyway,
talk to Del.
Okay, cool.
There you go. Right? Well,
I'm going to let you go so you can talk to other people.
No problem. It was good hearing from you.
Yes, thank you. Same here. Talk to you later. Have a good night.
All right, you have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Later, kid.
Oh. All right, great, fantastic. Whoa, okay, Erica 559, welcome to the show, and how are you?
Oh, hi, Psychic Journeyman. It's Melanie.
Well,
hello.
Hi. I've called before, Okay. I'm calling you again because I'd like to get an angel reading.
Okay. So how many angels you want? I'm just kidding.
Full compliment, Donnie.
So, I was just saying, what's your name?
Melanie.
Melanie, you sound so, we've talked before, right?
Yes, we have.
When was the last time we talked?
I can't remember.
You can't remember?
Maybe it was like last month.
Okay.
Wasn't that long ago?
Oh, no problem. So you want to get an angel reading. Is there any kind of certain subject that you're focusing on right now?
My health.
So what we're going to do is we're going to use my angel tarot cards. Okay? All right. We're looking at the cards right now, and we're saying, well, the situation is so mean at you that it's coming an end of a the end of a difficult situation. It's the idea of embracing change and expecting things to get better and expect it to happen now. It also is showing recovery from an addiction. The thing is, most people go, I don't have an addiction. Well, it's the idea of addiction. We always think about certain things because of what we see, what we're familiar with, not realizing that the idea of something we do repetitive is an addiction, or an addiction, or an addictive habit. So it's the idea, of embracing change and looking at myself and say, okay, my health is going to change because realistically, as a spiritual being, I'm perfect. I'm whole and I'm complete. And it's the idea of even saying the same thing. Thank you, God and angels, for my whole, complete, healthy body. And it's saying when you embrace that kind of change, what you also have to do is expect things to change and always expect the better. Don't get yourself caught up because people don't realize the idea of criticism and negativity can actually be an addiction because we keep doing those things which are sabotaging realistic what we're trying to create. And that's a very good one. It's a very positive card, too, but it's also showing the idea of the Ten of Swords. The Ten of Swords is the ideal of, until I ever see swords, it's just the ideal of cutting loose how I used to think in favor of changing that. It also shows the Chariot and Archangel Metatron, and for some reason I got this card, is the ideal of learning how to communicate with yourself more in a positive way. This one here is showing about the importance in self-discipline and willpower of setting goals for yourself and sticking to them. And the ideal of not just what you do for yourself, but it seems like everybody, a lot of other people will also notice the same thing. So what you do for yourself seems to affect other people's lives in a positive way, too. It does say spend time in quiet meditation. I think it's one of those things that helps. It's like helping people understand spirituality is not a 6-month course. It's a lifetime achievement. It's a lifetime commitment. And what it's saying here is you need to really focus on that, on the spiritual teachings and self-discovery about yourself to realize how powerful you are and the process of the situation that things that go wrong with your body are actually manifestations of your fears in physical form.
Well, I'm planning on getting real close to a goal. I've been working on this for almost a year now, being prepared for a surgery to lose weight. And they told me that it'll improve my health.
Right. So you're going to get some surgery. So you're going to get surgery to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is it? Is it the ideal of the cuff link? Or they have that more simpler one now where it's just a...
No, it's not the more simpler one. But they told me that it...
But it does have something to do with your stomach, right?
Mm-hmm.
On that note, I keep getting the idea of doing as much research as you can with the situation of understanding exactly what's happening here because of, I'm just saying, get the pros and the cons, get both sides. Don't just listen to one. Go out and find everybody and get everybody's insight before you actually do it because of some of the things I've seen. I have a brother who did it. You know, he went from almost 380 down to, I think he's around 200 pounds now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but it's a constant. It's a constant change of everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has so many restrictions. It has so many things you have to do. And to the point where, you know, if you don't, there's actually some health concerns and health issues that you could actually cause by not following the criteria. That's the word for you. So therefore, I'm just saying, take it in because it's showing you it's like the idea of important psychic insights, looking at things. Okay. My thing about losing weight is the idea of what caused the weight gain in the first place. Was it emotional? Was it physical? Was it something, a trauma? Or something on those kind of things, or a glandular problem. Because a lot of times people don't realize with glandular problems, it could also be a physical manifestation of an emotional problem too as well. So if you go straight to the whole thing of doing something simplified to lose the weight, you still didn't address the issues it caused in the first place, so therefore the idea of them coming back again will happen again too. You'll still have the same outcome. So that's what I'm saying, getting all the research, doing as much research as you can with the whole situation yourself, even asking yourself, and the ideal weight gain and the urgency of why I need to let go of it. You look at the emotional implication behind it too. I feel like both are really important, and it's great you're getting to that goal. And if it's something you feel like you should go and follow through with, definitely listen to your intuition, because what the fifth card I pulled for you, it says listen to your intuition, have patience, consider carefully what you want before you're acting.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of just backed up what I just said.
Well, yes. It's something that I've been going to see the doctor and doing everything they asked me to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
getting everything checked out. It's a process. They don't just throw you into surgery. You have to do all the stuff they ask you to do. You
that's
know,
true
you
too,
to
sweetie, but I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying from the point of view, I'm telling you what I see when the process of what I pick up on this whole situation, just doing the research yourself. Because, you know, the ideals of surgeries and this kind of stuff and what they're going through, one thing we have to admit with the situation, they're getting paid for the whole process.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They're just not volunteering. They're not just volunteering this to you. So a lot of doctors are like, doctors are people too, and you know you don't want to believe that. That they have a tendency to get spooked by their own fears of thinking they have to do certain things for an income.
Mm.
Even though they have four Porsches sitting in their driveway. So I'm just saying with the situation, always examine everybody's motivations behind everything that's going on. Like it says here, think carefully, you know, consider carefully what you want before acting and do the research behind it. Because I saw the situation that It shows success. I'm not going to say it doesn't. It's just the ideal of that situation. It's like this. There's many avenues to the success that you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
And if you got doctors or a center telling you that anytime you have any kind of surgery, because I've also done research too as well. That anesthesia, even the idea of doing dental work, there have been deaths. So it's the idea of knowing everything up front and say, okay, you know, but if you still feel like it's going to be a successful outcome, then more likely it is, because that's what your intuition is telling you, so you follow through with it. But knowing everything, to me, knowing everything up front, it means that somebody is being honest with me, so therefore I can trust them. It's not what they're saying to me. It's the idea that they are saying it to me. And they're not hiding anything from me. So they have no fears. So there's no fears there. You shouldn't have any fears either, because more likely both of you are going to come out of this situation very successful. You're going to get what you want. You're going to get what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So.
That sounds good, I guess. Because they were telling me it would resolve a lot of health issues I have if I lose the weight. And I have struggled with it over the years, gaining and losing, gaining and losing. So this method was recommended because it would, they said as soon as I have, if I do not even lose any weight, immediately my diabetes would go away, even before I start to lose the weight.
Yeah, but your diabetes will probably go away if you change your diet.
I would agree with that one.
I was just sitting there looking at the situation. I saw a person do some fasting, just simply doing some fasting for 5 or 6 days, and it was just an imbalance in the body and some toxins that she had taken in with. It wasn't the sweets themselves. It was the preservatives and the toxins that she had taken in her body that built up over a period of time, which actually gave the appearance of diabetes, but when she cleansed her body out, that wasn't there anymore.
Yeah. My dad's diabetes had disappeared. He's 90 years, he's going to be 91.
Mm-hmm.
And he only had to take the pill, not insulin, not the injection.
Right.
And he said, well, his diabetes has disappeared, gone away after a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
But he is very good about watching his, controlling his diet.
Uh-huh.
And he prays a lot. So
right.
Maybe that's why he was successful. And,
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
No, I had this book called Quantum Healing. It's by a person, named Richard Gordon. And it actually teaches you how to heal other people and heal yourself in the process of also doing certain prayers and healing of foods, drinks, and water. So therefore, like you can sort of do it through water, do tap water. You actually, there's a technique of healing the water and the situation of all the impurities and that kind of stuff. Praying,
yeah,
how they have a sensitive situation, so you can save yourself on bottled water. Me personally, I get certain kinds of waters with they have these certain electrolytes and certain extra nutrition in the water itself. So I have no problem justifying paying for the water, but. If you're just a person buying water, then you could actually use those techniques to save yourself some money on buying bottles of water.
Yes, I had experience where my grandmother was my dad's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She had, one time she came over to the house, she was sick, not feeling well. She had me go get a glass of, she said, let the water run out of the tap for a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a glass of water. So I went and got her a glass of water, and she said, no, take it back. And she had, and she said, let it run out of the tap for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I got her another glass of water, then she accepted that, and she drank it. She was
mm-hmm.
praying all that time. So she was probably praying about the water, you know.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, but she and my dad did that, I never did really get into it that much because my
mm-hmm.
mom didn't really want, my mother didn't want us to, for some reason, get into the religion that cradled, that like that, or I don't know
right.
why.
Because fear.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I was just...
Mm-hmm.
And wait, can I ask you another question real quick?
Sure.
This has to do with maybe you can help me with this. 2 years ago in 2010, I had an encounter with, I don't even know if you deal with these things, it was an object in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I question about that, what it was.
So you see an object in the sky?
Yeah.
When you see the object in the sky, I mean, can you describe exactly what happened at that time?
Well, I was coming home from the grocery store, and it was about 9 o'clock at night. And I was just coming home from the grocery store, grabbing into my parking stall, and when I drove into the parking area, I looked up and noticed this object with looked like a boomerang shaped object with two lights flashing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I upset me when I saw it, and I put my sunblazer down and wouldn't look at it, and drove to my parking and got my groceries and started walking to my apartment, and I turned around and told it that I rebuked it in the name of Jesus, and it started backing away and started backing away then. And so, I managed to make it, I know, okay, but I was just wondering about that, if you
mm-hmm.
want anything.
Aww.
Or do you do that, or can you tell?
I was trying to figure out. let's see here.
And shortly after that, I developed my diabetes.
Your what?
And then shortly after that, I feel like I was developing my diabetes then. And I moved in with my sister, and I did better.
Well, in some ways, I was looking at the situation of the sometimes when things come off a certain way, I sit there and try to figure it out myself. Where it comes off as a, what's the word? It actually comes off as an extension of the whole.
Hmm?
It comes off as an extension from the whole. It's like this. You get the impression that the vehicle that you saw as being a satellite, which means it's a smaller version of something bigger. But I also get the situation, it's a smaller version as something coming off the whole. And I also get a black hole, where it came through a black hole. So it came from the universe to this universe. But when I sit there and saw the whole, too, it's almost like, if anybody ever saw the movie Independence Day, where they had this huge mother craft, and then they had the smaller ones, and the smaller ones of that one.
Oh.
That would, mm-hmm. that would give you an idea of the situation of, I get a lot of things with that one. Because I was sitting, we had a thing on the show, too, once before, where I was talking about things where sometimes UFOs that we see are not the ideal vehicles from another universe. It's just the idea of the Atlanteans are coming to the surface from where they're actually still living to see what the world's like and how far it's progressed. So with the situation, what you saw there, it's like, there's a lot. With that one, it's like seeing that one craft, there are so many connections.
Well, I was just curious about that. It was actually kind of upsetting.
Well, the thing I picked up the most was I saw Atlantean, and I also saw Pleiadian, which is actually, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's a star seed. It's a star seed.
Mm. So it was just looking around then. It was just going looking around, and I just happened to run into it.
Right. Well, with the situation, that kind of stuff, you know, you don't feel like it's any kind of big deal now.
No.
Yes. But, so it's like, yeah. But it gives you an idea about certain situations, too. Maybe even, maybe an origin of part of you, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. I hope I don't ever see it again.
Well, it's one of those things to realize, sweetie, you're protected no matter what you do or where you go.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying, when I walk out this door, a friend of mine says, well, what you do? Did you talk to angels and that kind of stuff to ask them to protect you? I think it's the vision I have all the time that they are protecting me. Now, I do from time to time when I go bike riding. I will sit there, and as I walk in the post office, I don't want to use my lock. I'll say, okay, angels, because you protect my bike until I get back.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
then things like that.
Yeah, and I feel like that's why I made it in okay, because I was asking for protection.
Oh, yeah.
But well, I was just wondering if you could see mm-hmm. anything about it, what it was, where it came from, what it was doing there.
Situation. I get the impression, to tell you the truth, from what you saw and where it was going, I just get the impression it was just cruising. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Cruising around.
Yeah, well, sometimes people look at these situations and go, okay, what was he doing? Have you ever gotten in your car and just took a drive?
Oh.
You know, so it's
yeah.
the ideal. I mean, look at it. I mean, to me personally, when you look at alien civilizations and that kind of stuff, I'm pretty sure they have offspring, too. So,
oh, gosh.
I'm serious. The thing I got the most was I got a lantern connection and a palladium connection, and I saw that this thing coming from using a vortex of a black hole to actually go from one universe to this one. I've also seen situations where when I saw the program Stargate, I just feel like there's more truth to that than a science fiction mm-hmm. show. So,
yeah,
it's, you know.
I was watching that Stargate show one time with a group of friends. One of them made that remark, you know, there's more truth to that than people realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I told a friend of mine, I said, if you watch the movie, it shows you that they found this thing in 1914 in Egypt. And I said, what would you do if you found out that we've actually had a Stargate program since 1914?
Wow.
And that we've also been working with Atlanteans side by side on technology and that kind of thing, too, and the idea of actually incorporating crystals into our society. And if you sit here and look at a lot of things now, you'll find crystals in cell phones, computers, and all kinds of good stuff.
Well, yeah, radios.
I also read another story, too. I need to get more information on this one and more input, but I actually had heard a story about a guy who actually had found crystals that actually has information encrypted in it, and they're now trying to decipher it, and they think it might actually be that the Atlanteans didn't have the kind of library that we did. They actually stored everything on crystals, and it's actually been proven a crystal the size of a burner on a stove could actually, if you had three of those crystals, you could take all the information on the computers of the Pentagon and download them into those three crystals. Save
mm-hmm.
yourself a lot of space and time. And plus the idea, they also, it was also, Edgar Casey said that if we were going to find a Atlantean library on one of the paws of the Sphinx. So what they did was the Egyptian government would not let people touch or do anything with it, but they did let them do a scan of it, a radar scan, or
mm-hmm.
what do you call it? Yeah, radar, and they did that whole thing. And there is, out of the whole Sphinx, on that one paw, there is a void.
Hmm, that's probably where it is.
Yeah, so they've seen a lot of things, too. And I saw this one program, and I started thinking about a lot of things, too, exactly what kind of technology are we talking about, because this one guy said he was looking at things through Egypt, and he found saw marks of places that no one's been, you know, people go to from time to time. But he said these saw marks are actually part of the, it's like walking into a tomb, and this tomb has not really been touched by anybody else except for they've had tours going through and that kind of stuff, but no, nothing. To walk into these places and look down and see a saw mark, a circular saw mark on a statue. or in a little Greek. And what was so funny was it was actually an Egyptian statue that had actually been under glass in Cairo Museum for like 100 years. Okay, so no one's touched this thing. And he was sitting there looking at it, and he just happened to notice. And there's a standing mark on the back part of it. Like, it was like electric, like a band, like a circular sander. So he's thinking that now where the pyramids are, there's these big pits. Now this one guy thought that this is what the pits were for, where they used to build ships. But what he's thinking now is that there's a, from what the things he's seen and that kind of stuff, and how the stones were cut on the pyramids, it wasn't one of those things where they were cut and brought there, because it was showing how these pyramids were built. And that one says the Great Pyramid was built in 28 or 29 years. And the guy did the math on that. He said, if that's the truth, then they were putting a block of stone in place about every 2 to 3 minutes.
Wow.
With the technology they had back then, even with the idea of 15 minutes, the technology does not fit of what they're trying to convince us. So it's the idea, when you look at them, there's something more to it. And plus people have to understand it too. When you look at the pyramids and you see them the way they are, when they were finished, they were also capped with granite. Okay, so they had the stones. So what you see is all these blocks, right? But it was also, the surface was very smooth. And if you look at the top of the pyramid, there's also a flat surface. It said that that was either a piece of gold that topped that off.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, so
I heard there's a lot of rose quartz is used as a pyramid.
But they did. They came in, this thing, when they did those pyramids, I mean, the blocks that we see, that's the underbelly. When they were finished, they were smooth.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They were smooth with some kind of, it was granite. It was hard. I mean, and plus with the stones, if you've seen some of the stones that are inside the pyramid, these stones are like the hardest substance in the freaking world. And I just saw this one. It was in Kutupupu or whatever it is. It's in Peru.
Yeah.
And the guy says, you look at these stones. First of all, it looks like a war went through there and knocked these stones everywhere. And what's so funny about these stones is they weigh tons. So the idea of something coming through there, like there had to be a great force coming through there to knock all these things around. And he said, that's not the most amazing thing about the situation, the big mystery. What the big mystery is, if you look at the stones very closely, they're not stones like the pyramids. They don't lay on top of each other. They interlock. And they're also made of one. I can't remember the stone, what kind of stone they're made of, but it's one of the hardest. It's actually a substance that's harder than diamond. And plus they have all these carvings on the inside. They're in-face carvings. And the one guy said when he was there, he actually took his fingers on one of the end parts of the graving and actually cut his finger. That's how precise the cuts are on the inside of those things. And we're talking, this is one of the civilizations that's been carbon dated as being one of the oldest cities on the earth. So to have it's like looking at these situations and saying things about what kind of real technology did they have. Now, me personally, they want to push the idea of alien astronauts. I would like to say Atlantean astronauts more than I would like to say alien. I mean, I think it's alien to us, so therefore we have a tendency to put certain things with it. But when I was watching, like, there's a series on the History Channel called Alien Astronauts. And when I was watching Alien Astronauts, when I started seeing the connections to the runways in Peru and things you can't see unless you're actually flying over them, and even in the pyramids, they actually found a bird in one of the, what do you call those things?
Yeah, uh-huh. Well,
yeah,
I heard that it could be a technology that we have lost, and the man who built Coral Castle rediscovered it, that technology.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the big blocks he put in place.
Yeah, it was one of those situations of realizing the idea of how powerful the mind is. But what they were saying, this one guy says, he said, what's so great about it? You go up and you see these runways everywhere. And you're thinking, oh, this is amazing. But he said, that's not the amazing part about it. He said, if you look at all the plateaus around there, they all have tips. And whoever put these runways in, cut the whole top of that plateau off. And what's so amazing about it is they can't find it. They can't find the filter. Where's it at?
They can't find the what?
The filter. When you remove things, are you when you build a skyscraper, you have a hole and you take all that dirt. So therefore you have this, like for example, when in Ohio, when they built extensions to 35, they had to take dirt and build up. In the process of building up that highway when they were making it, they were actually able to make a huge lake, a big lake.
Well, I don't know that much about building.
No, but, I'm just saying, there's always leftover dirt. And he said, if you saw the top of the plateau, how much they took off, there should be some evidence of what they did with it, but there's not. It's gone. So he's thinking great technology, but he's thinking about laser technology. Because when you laser things, it's like a vaporized thing. So those things were popping into place and that kind of stuff. So he was saying alien astronaut. Now, me personally, when I looked at the situation, this is why I came up with my equation, okay? My assessment is like this. If you're coming from a universe, another universe here, you don't need a runway to land your craft. And the process of looking at flying saucers that people keep describing today, they don't need a runway. They just land wherever. So they're talking about these runways, and they found in one of the pharaoh's tombs, they found a bird, and then they sort of kind of looked at the whole thing, and they said, when they were looking at it, somebody thought it was just a mock-up of a bird, but when you look at it, it looks just like a glider, and then they found on the end of it a little notch where it looks like somebody had put back part of the plane, the rudder. This thing had a rudder on the back of it. And he said if they were making a mock-up of a bird, we know for a fact that birds don't have rudders. So if someone has some kind of technology of flying, plus they actually found, you've heard this probably before, where they found those gold pieces, they're shaped like airplanes. So what somebody did was they actually made a model airplane exactly the way this thing's made, and it flew perfectly.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
It's aerodynamic. It's aerodynamic. So, you know, it's one of those things of looking at situations. I think it was Atlanteans in their heyday, of them finding out flight and their space program and that kind of stuff, not some alien thing. I'm not saying aliens couldn't have some kind of influence over what they did, but I think it's more of Atlantean technology than anything else. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would... Sometimes,
thank you.
I don't know.